the book of Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to get right into the Scripture this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll look here in Hebrews chapter 12 for a few minutes this morning. And this Scripture has been on my heart. I want you to listen as we try to bring you the message this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience," like I preached the other Sunday night, "the race that is set before us." Verse 2 tells you how to do that. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The first part of verse 2, that's what I want to preach about this morning. Looking unto Jesus. And that'll be the title of the message this morning, Looking unto Jesus. The Bible teaches us anything in the New Testament, it is to keep our eyes on the Lord. Isn't that the truth? You know where we get in trouble is when we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. I can look at that piece of ductwork back in the back of this building this morning, and I can keep my eyes on that piece of ductwork, but I can still see all of you. I can see colors and I can see stuff like that, and that's what the world's supposed to be. Like if that flag right there on the wall represented the Lord in heaven, according to the Bible, I'm supposed to keep my eyes on that. Looking unto Jesus, like that flag was the Lord. And I was looking unto Him. Now I can see there's flowers right here, but I'm not looking at them. I can see there's a plant right here, but I'm not looking at it. I'm looking unto Jesus. I can see there's an ugly man right here, but I've still got my eyes on the Lord. I can see there's a rich man right here, but I've still got my eyes on the Lord. See, I can see that. I can keep my eyes on the Lord. But now, here's where I mess up. When I look at that ugly man. That's a big mistake. All right? When I look at that. See, if I'm looking at him, I got my eyes off the Lord. And that's the way most Christians are this morning. Most Christians are looking at the world and can barely see the Lord out of the corner of their eye. It's supposed to be looking unto the Lord and see the world out of the corner of the eye. Bible says, by the way, did you know that's what happens in churches when people get their eyes off the Lord on each other? Say, well, I used to like my church, but this and this and this and this. That's because you get your eyes off the Lord and get your eyes on each other. You cannot look at people because they'll just, you can't look at yourself. You'll disappoint yourself. I look at myself every morning and say, Lord, you're a mess, man. What are you up to today? I mean, my flesh is not worth looking at, and yours isn't either. That's why the Bible said, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, life is like a trip. And somebody said, boy, my life is a trip. Mine is too, but it's like a journey, not that kind of trip. Not an LSD trip, but life is like a journey. Life's like a journey. You started out a long time ago, and you're moving right along. Now, what I want to do this morning is compare our life. Let's suppose this morning that we're going on a long trip. Let's say we're going to Florida, okay? Middle of Florida, 12 hours. And let's say that we're all on this trip and we're going, okay? Now, in a car, you must keep looking. You must keep looking ahead. If I'm going from here to Florida, I'm going to be driving and I've got to look. Now, here's what the Bible teaches us we should do. And if you drive, if you have your driver's license, you know exactly what I'm saying. If I'm going to drive on a long trip, this trip I've been on, my Christian life has been a long one. And I don't know how much longer I've got to go, but it's like a long, long trip. Now, I've noticed in driving, I've been driving a long time now, I've noticed in driving that you have to keep looking. You have to continually look. My mom fusses at me. The other day, I took her to the doctor. She said, "Now, Danny, quit looking off the roof. You quit looking in the floor. Quit looking here. And you know, quit looking at other stuff," because I was fiddling around with papers and putting stuff down the side door. And she said, "You got to keep your eyes on the road." And that's true. You do. But here's what you got to do when you're driving. I tell all my girls, when they get their license, I said, "Now listen, girls, when you're driving, you can't just look straight in front of you. You can't just keep going at a green light because it's green, can you? Some fool's going to come flying down the other and not know it's red and run right in the side of you. You can't just pull up to an intersection and say, 'Well, the light's green, I'm going to keep going.' You better not do that. You better look this way and this way and up and around you and behind and everywhere else. So somebody will plow right into you." I've seen that happen many, many times. So what you're going to do is, if you're driving, you keep normally, you look 90% of the time in ahead of you. And then, every few minutes, you do like this. You check your mirror, right? Because you want to see what's behind you. Somebody get right on your bumper. Somebody be flying. Might be a funny-looking light back there behind you. And then it's time to pray, amen. It's time to pray. When you see one of them blue light specials, I was one coming up on me the other night, and I was talking to Carrie on the phone. I was going somewhere. I forgot where I was going, Asheville or somewhere. And I was flying over them, you know, and here come a blue light. I thought, oh, man. You know that feeling you get? I got sick. I said, "Oh, Lord, Carrie, there's a cop, and he's getting me, and his blue light's on." And I was just praying, "Oh, God, please, no, oh, God, please, no." And I was driving up through there like that, and he went right around me and kept going. I was healed just like that. It's amazing how quick you can get better when they... I said, "Go on, get them wicked people up there breaking the law. Put them in jail." But anyway, I was driving up through there like that. You got to check your rearview mirror. You know what else you got to do? When you pull up to an intersection, you got to look around you. You can't just look straight ahead. You get killed. You have to look in every direction. Now, I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, in our Christian life, we must do the same thing. I want to say four things about it right quick. And let me ask you one question and see if you're with me. I'll see if you're listening. If you get in your car and drive down the road 70 miles an hour, and all you do is look straight ahead of you and drive 70 miles an hour, something's going to happen to you, and you're going to do what? Wreck. You're going to wreck. Now, the same is true about your Christian life. You want to wreck your Christian life? Buddy, I'll tell you how to do it. Just don't pay attention. Don't keep your eyes on the Lord, and you will wreck your Christian life. I know plenty. I could write you a list of paper on the paper down through there this morning that used to be in this thing and used to serve God and used to sing in the choir and used to teach Sunday school and used to preach, and now they're out there shipwrecked or car wrecked or life wrecked or however you want to say it. They have wrecked their life. Now, brother, we've all had dents and bumps and cleaned out the ditches and hit mailboxes and stuff like that. But I'm telling you something, boy, you got to get that car back on the road and keep going. Keep going for God. Just keep going for God. There's somebody called me one morning. They said, "Is this Danny Castle?" This afternoon. And I said, "Yes, it is." They said, "One of your buses, you better tell that bus, whoever it is, not to get that bus in my yard no more. Or I'm not to." I said, "Well, now, how do you know it's our bus?" "Well, I know it's your bus." And she said, "These people on there said they're from your church." And I said, "Well, ma'am, what's wrong?" She said, "That bus has tore up my yard. It hit my mailbox. She said it made big, you know, round." I said, "I am sorry. I'll tell them to be careful about that." One night we went Christmas caroling. And we all went Christmas caroling over there somewhere on the other side of Morganton. And our genius bus driver back there, I'm not going to say which one. It's the one that can't see. He was driving. My fault for letting a man drive that can't see. And we was over there in the rich section on the other side down there on 18. And these people had these pretty Christmas lights up everywhere. It looked, oh, Lord, they was all decked out in the road. And everybody was, ooh, ah, look at that. Isn't that pretty? And Brother Mike, that guy that I was telling you about, he backed that bus in there. He backed that bus in there and turned around. And we took off, and it hooked onto their Christmas lights, and it was dragging them up the road. That's the truth. I said, "Whoa, brother, whoa." And man, and them people had the prettiest lights out in their yard, and he was just dragging them right up the road. We got out and took them loose, everything, just throwed them over in their yard and left. I think we knocked on the door or something, but real, just like this. Nobody home. But anyway, you got to look. You can't just get in your car and take off driving and not pay attention. You'll get killed. And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people just come to church, they get saved, they do right for a while, and just, hey, it don't matter what you do, I can just look anywhere and not pay attention. Bam! The devil will get you out. He'll kill you spiritually. So I'm going to say four things about it. Actually, there's four ways we need to look. Looking unto Jesus like this. Number one, and this is most important. We're looking to the Lord. We're all supposed to be looking at Him. Looking back, we praise Him. Bible said in Psalm 107:8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Looking back, we ought to praise Him. If I'm going down the road this morning, and I am, I'm going somewhere. I don't know about you. My life's going somewhere. This church is going somewhere. We're on a journey. And looking back, at my rearview mirror, we ought to praise Him. If you're not careful, get me down just one hair, Brother Mike, as you begin to think of all He's done in the past. The Bible said in Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. To praise means to commend the worth of. Brag on Him. Tell Him how great He is. Bible said, praise the Lord. Great things He hath done. Many a time, our children, or our kids will come to us and they'll beg for money. Daddy, I want this. I need money. And you'll finally hand it to them and they just take off. But it sure does make us feel better when they come back and say, I appreciate what you've done for me. Thank you for that money. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And brother, it pleases God today when we look back and say, Lord, I remember last week when you blessed me. I remember last year when you helped me. Remember, you want to get you a blessing this morning? I'll tell you how to do it. Check your rearview mirror spiritually. Look back and see what God has done for you. And you'll be on shouting ground before we leave here. Buddy, I sure could. Great things He hath done. Somebody's thinking precedes thanking. Thinking precedes thanking. You see somebody shouting happy, you know what they've been doing? They've been thinking about what the Lord has done for them. I couldn't tell you. I could stand up here all day long and tell you what God has done for me. He's been good to me. I'll never forget as an 18-year-old boy walking in the Nebo Baptist Church. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking back and praising Him. I'm telling you, I look back in my mirror this morning and I see myself 18 years old, lost without God, no hope, no help, no future in this world or the world to come. I'll never forget that night. There was a group of young people up singing. The Spirit of God was thick in that church. You could feel God's presence all over there. People started going to the altar here and there and crying and bawling. This girl that I went to school with was sitting in front of me. She turned around and she said, hey, Danny, why don't you get saved? And I said, it's not my time to get saved. My heart was coming out of my chest. My cousin was standing right beside me on this side. He said, hey, man, let's go get saved. I said, I'm not ready to get saved. Boy, my heart was going boom, 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 like that. And boy, that finally I stood there a little while longer. They kept singing. God started getting real to my heart. I remembered all my mom told me when I was little. My mom used to set me on her lap when I was about that high and open that big old family Bible and read me them Bible stories and tell me the God and tell me there's a heaven and tell me there's a hell. And all that stuff started coming back to me. And one foot went in front of the other one. Something just broke loose on the inside. It just broke. You remember when it happened to you? I tell you what, boy, I'll never, ever, ever, ever. Listen, Brother Danny, I ain't the best Christian in the world and I've made my share of mistakes. But I'm going to tell you something. I got it right that night, and the devil can't never take that away. Thank God. The devil can't take that away. There ain't enough demons in hell to take away what the Lord did me that night. I went down a sinner. I got up a saint. I went down lost. I got up saved. I went down on my way to hell. I got up on my way to heaven. The great transaction was done, people. The old account was settled. And I'm looking back this morning, praising Him when I look back. Listen, if God ain't never done nothing for you but saved you, you could jump up this morning and point your name that day that you got saved and go, woo! And have a leaping revival right here this morning and say, leap for joy for what He has done in the past. Amen. Looking back, we ought to praise Him. And then I think about not only Him saving me, but Him protecting me. You would not believe the protection I've had. All the hundreds of thousands of miles I've traveled. I've been traveling in airplanes since 1977. I'm telling you, brother, I've been traveling in cars since before that. Preaching revival since I was 19 years old. There's no telling how many cars I've wore out, how many hundreds of miles I've went. I've drove home in the middle of the night. I'm from Maryland, from Georgia, from Florida. I come home and somebody's worried about me driving in snow the other day. I drove home. Took me 12 hours to come from this side of Alabama to Hoppy Tom Holler. And boy, I'm telling you, I was in a two-wheel drive car, four-wheel drive Acura. And I drove that thing, and they was closing the interstate in Georgia. The snow was so bad, they was closing off the interstate. And they was putting them big, you know, they put them little things look like saw horses with stripes on them and blocking the road off. And I was coming down there. I said, I got to that interstate, and they was moving them around. And I drove between them and went on while them guys put them and got on the interstate. I never got home. It took me 12 hours. One lane open, wrecks everywhere. And God, in His goodness, brought me on. I've come home from there, that way down to Mock, Winston-Salem one night, where you could only see two tracks on the interstate. The snow was so deep, and not having a four-wheel drive, and somehow or another, always made it by the grace of God. I drove home in the middle of the night when I was so sleepy. I was seeing visions and everything. One time I thought I saw a hitchhiker. I said, that's the skinniest dude I ever seen in my life. He looked like that thing right there. I said, Lord, that guy's skinny. And when I got to it, it was a sign. It's like just a sign, you know, speed limit sign or something. And I said, man, it's time to wake up. I thought it was a wall in front of me. And it was a big truck. It's only by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. When I look back this morning and see that through many dangers, toils, and snares I've come through, and all the traps the devil's laid for me, and I hand God every time, picking me up and carrying me over the mud hole and bring me. Listen, brother, looking back, I can praise Him this morning. Can you? You know what you ought to do? You ought to give credit where credit's due. It's not your genius, and it's not your ability, and it's not your brains, and it's not your talent that's got you where you are this morning. You better give credit. People say, well, old Brother Daniel, well, you're just smart, and you're just this. Let me tell you something, brother. I ain't either. I'm ignorant. I know nothing. I know, brother, if it wasn't for the mercy and grace of God Almighty, that I wouldn't even be standing here in front of you this morning. And I give Him the praise for everything He's done for me. It's not because you're smart or intelligent or a harder worker or lucky that you've got what you've got. It's God that's blessed you with what you've got. That young lady yesterday just dropped dead with a blood clot or something like that. You know that could happen to anybody in here anytime, an aneurysm. Blood vessel go to you. What didn't happen to you yesterday? God took care of you. You know what didn't happen to me yesterday? God took care of us. Looking back, we ought to praise Him. Amen. We ought to just praise Him. You know what we ought to praise Him for? We ought to praise Him for a Bible. This Bible's took me through many a toil and trouble and snare. It's been there for every bit of trouble I've had. I'd stick my nose in this book and come out on top every single time. Looking back, I praise Him for the Bible. I tell you something else we ought to praise Him for. We ought to praise Him for our church. Amen. I'm glad we've got a church. Now listen, our church here this morning, we don't have the nicest building in town. All of us, I'd love to have better, bigger facilities where we put all them kids, where we could get more buses, bring more kids. I'd love to have a big, beautiful building on it, but I'm going to tell you something that I like better than that. I like the atmosphere, the Spirit of God, and people being saved. You know there are churches, I know some, there are churches not far from right here that have a building five times bigger than this that have 50 and 60 people sitting in it. Dead is 4 o'clock, and they would love to have the Spirit that we have in here. Amen? Amen? I'd like to swap with them, but they won't do that. Listen, brother, listen, they'd love to have the Spirit. I would rather have a terrible building and a bunch of people with the Spirit of God than a great big building and dead and nothing. I mean that. I mean, I'd have them both. But I'll tell you something, brother. Listen, we ought to thank God for a church that we can still come and be friendly and shake hands and feel God's Spirit and felt like we hadn't wasted our time when we went. Amen. Looking back, we ought to praise Him. We ought to praise Him for each other. Admit it's all Him. Second, looking back, check our mirror, we ought to praise Him. Second, looking around. You got to look around when you're driving. You'll get killed if you don't. Looking around, serving. Looking back, praising. Looking around, serving. Keep your eyes open for opportunity to serve God. Some people just go, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Listen, opportunity is all around you. Do you work on a job? Then God's put you in a place where you serve Him. You go to school, God's put you in a place where you can, wherever you are. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't work a job. I stay at home all the time. You got a telephone? you have an opportunity to serve God. You say, I don't have a phone. You can talk, you can pray, you can get down on your knees, you can pray for revivals, you can pray for churches, you can literally see God put homes back together and get a hold of wayward teenagers. You can serve God if you'll just look around you. Bible said in John 12:26, if any man serve me, if any man serve me. Many people look around and get discouraged. I tell you, remember this, perilous times are times of opportunity, time to serve the Lord. You can look around, see somebody with a flat tire. You can look around, see somebody that needs help. I was telling you, I came out of a store down there in Hickory the other day, right before Christmas, and I was just looking around, and this woman was walking out there, and this lady, I guess she is probably in her 20s, just fell, collapsed right there in the parking lot. And I thought, oh my goodness. I ran over there, and look, she's laying down on that parking lot like this, and blood just pouring out of her head. Where she cracked on that concrete, and her mama was flipping out. I reckon it was her mama. She said, oh, honey, are you all right? You all right? And I said, ma'am, what happened? She said, well, I think she's had a seizure or something like that. And so I grabbed her like this up underneath her, got behind her, and pulled her up underneath her arms like this, and pulled her up, and we got her in the car. And I run in the store there, and I said, sir, do you have some paper towels or something? He gave me some paper towels. Well, I took them to that woman, and she was wiping the blood off, you know, and everything. And then I was standing there talking to him. She finally got calmed down. And I told him I was a preacher, and the Lord loved them. And they said, we appreciate this so much. We appreciate it so much. Then I went walking on down, got in my car, and then I told you about some other stuff that happened. But you know what? There's always somebody around that you can serve God. There's always somebody. You want to serve God? You should have come out here and went with us yesterday on bus route. There's opportunities everywhere. There's a lady sitting right over here this morning whose husband, they just found out, has cancer. That'd be a good some things for people to pray about. There's people in here this morning that have all kinds of needs. There's people in here this morning that you could go and sit and talk to. Miss Kim down in the hospital with that baby. Miss Hazel over there, that family in West Virginia. Look around, people. Look around. Serve God. There's plenty. Listen, you wouldn't sit around and feel sorry for yourself all the time if you'd look around and see the opportunities God has for you to serve Him. One of the dumbest things you can do as a Christian is just look at me and say, poor me, poor little me, poor little me. My needs are not being met. My needs are not being met. My church don't meet my needs. My husband don't meet my needs. Listen, God, that ain't why God made you to get your needs met. God made you so that you could serve Him and love Him, and in the process, He'll take care of you and meet your needs. Y'all are quiet in here this morning. Are you just listening real good or what? Hey, say amen. Amen. Looking around, we ought to serve Him. Amen. That's right, brother. Do something. I'm going to tell you something right quick. Move along. I ain't got time to get to all this. You ought to make yourself do something every day that you don't want to do. Make yourself. Like extra praying, doing without something. Make your flesh do something every day it want to do. Did you know every athlete who's a success, anybody that's a success in anything, I don't care if it's sports, if it's financial world, they make themselves do stuff they don't want to do. You don't know how to be a bum all your life? Get up every morning and then take a nap right after you get up, and then watch TV for 3 or 4 hours, and then feed your belly that gets that big, and then lay on the couch all day, and then wonder why things ain't going good for you. Say amen right there. Brother, get up, man. Do something for God. Pray a little bit. Get out. Pick up drink bottles on the side of the road if you have to. But get busy and serve God. Listen, I know people right now. I know a lady right now in Marion who's going blind. She never has no company. Nobody except her sisters come and see her. That'd be a good thing for you to do. I know some people right now that need help everywhere. You just go down and sit down and talk to them and say, oh, I love you and praying for you. You just don't know how God would use you. You say, well, there's no hope for the world, brother. But it's like this. If a house is burning down, you might look at it and say, well, ain't no hope for that thing. It's going to burn down. We all got a bucket of water. God's give every one of us a bucket of water. Now, my philosophy is and has always been, the house might burn down, but I don't want the Lord to come back and my water is still in my bucket. It might burn down, but brother, I'll say my bucket's empty, Lord. I throwed it on there. We ain't going to get the whole world saved, but I don't want my bucket full of water when the Lord comes back. I want to say I tried, amen. looking around, serving. Go visiting. You know how people don't backslide? They stay busy. Busy people are not busy. You know why some people got their nose in everybody's business all the time? Because they don't do nothing for God themselves. You know these people that knows everybody and what? Everybody, you hear this, you hear that, you hear that, you hear. Well, you know what their problem is? They are a spiritual cow tater who sits around with their nose about as long as near that wall back there. And all they can think about is what they can, some dirt they can get on somebody else. Amen?
Yeah.
They work for them spiritual tabloids. Amen? And listen, brother, look around and see. Number three, looking ahead, trust it. Looking ahead, trust it. What'd I say? Looking back, praise Him. Looking around, serve Him. Looking ahead, trust Him. Now look, we don't know what's around the next curve. We don't know what's over the next hill. You don't know what a day may bring forth. I don't know what kind of mess our lives may be by this time tomorrow. But Psalm 20 and verse 7 said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I would say it like this. Some trust in Bush and some trust in Dean or Kerry or whoever that other fellow is that's going to run away. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in MTV. Some trust in VH1. Some trust in hip-hop Grammy Awards and the Super Bowl. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in basketball. Some trust in football. Some trust in their pocketbook. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some will trust in their education. Some will trust in their business or their bank account. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. What's going to get us through this year, next year, next year, next year, next year? The Lord's what's going to get us through. Amen? Learn how to trust the Lord for the future. Trust means a firm belief in, honesty, the reliability of a person or a thing. Somebody told me the other day, I don't know, some of y'all experts on the financial world can verify this. They told me the other day that the leading experts are now saying, and I hope they're wrong, but they're saying that by the end of this year, that gas will be $3 a gallon. That's what the experts are saying. I hope they're wrong. And I kind of think they are wrong, but that's what they're saying. Now, I don't believe it will, because Bush, he'll do something to keep it down so he can get reelected. I thank God for Brother Bush. Really, I do. Amen? I want the Lord to call him to preach and him get on there and hack a little bit. You know, and the Bible says, ha! And people have heart attacks. Ted Kennedy and all that. But anyway, you say, Lord, have mercy, Brother Danny. What are we going to do if we can't afford gas? Well, if it really did happen, it went to $10 a gallon and everybody had to quit. You say, what in the world would we do? I tell you what we'd do. We'd do what people done for 6,000 years before they had it. We ain't but in like 75 years, people's had cars. One lady came up and she says, well, what are we going to do if we can't afford gas? And the preacher looked there and said, you look sweet on the seat of a bicycle, Bill Fortune. I tell you, we'll go back to riding donkeys or bicycles or something. Brother. Amen? Listen, brother, we don't know what the future may hold, but we know who holds tomorrow. But D.L. Moody said, I will trust and not be afraid. What time I will afraid, I will trust in thee. One little boy got up and he said this. He said, trust and okay, for no other way. It's really trust and obey. He said, trust and okay, for there's no other way. You trust the Lord and everything will be okay. I'm going to say this and I'll be through this morning. What did I say now? We're driving a car. We're looking unto Jesus. Looking back, we what? Praise Him. Looking around, we what? Serving. What are we doing? Looking ahead, we what? You say, well, Brother Danny, we've looked back, we've looked around, we've looked ahead. That's the only way they are, ain't it? Nope. There's one other way in the Christian life. Looking up. Look up, we expect Him. Amen! Looking up, we expect Him. Boy, on this road, looking back, I can praise God for what He's done. Looking around, I can find ways to serve Him. Looking ahead, I can trust Him for tomorrow. But thank God this morning, I look up, I can expect Him to come back just any minute and get me out of here. I wish He'd come today. I wish the trumpet would sound this morning and take us out of this old world. And brother, we'd be through this mess forever. Amen? I've seen all this world I want to see. It ain't going to get no better. It's just one heartache right after another. looking for the Lord to come. I used to know a lot of people was looking for the Lord to come. And when He didn't come in 1989, some of them dropped out. He didn't come in 1992, and some of them dropped out. And He didn't come in 2000, they all dropped out back. You know, most people say, well, He didn't come in the year 2000. Heck, man, we're just here forever. No, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming, just like He said. And it's catching. Catching. Like the old, you ever seen the old looking up in that? You remember the old looking up in the air gag where the guy's in New York City? Remember he was on the Three Stooges or something? This dude had his neck broke or something. He came out there with one of them things like this. They went walking down the street. He walked down the street like that instead of at the red light. And in a few minutes, there was about 50 people standing around him, all of them looking up like that. And a crowd gathered around. They said, "What is he looking at? You, if there's one, if I stood up here this morning and just went like this, everyone, you know what y'all would do? You'd look up too. It's catching." We used to have this teacher in school, and I hate to tell you this because this is how mean we was in school. And bless his heart, he honestly, I think, was slow. Honestly, I hate to say that about a school teacher. I mean, he liked a few bricks having a, you know, a full load. He was a few French fries short of a Happy Meal, honestly. He was dumb, I'd say that, but we took advantage of him. And he'd say, "Now, class, we must be quiet now." And he'd go out of the room, and we'd just start, I mean, raising cane. It's like when I think I was in the 10th grade. And we'd sit there, and we'd all start beating on our desk. I catch you know. And boy, he'd come down the hall. And as soon as he'd walk in, it'd be deathly quiet. We'd always be looking at him. And he'd say, "Now I could hear the noise that you people were making." And we was all saying, "What a nut, man." And it was awful. It was disrespectful. And you should not be that way to your teachers. But I wasn't saved. And he was easy to be disrespectful to. He's a nut. And this guy came in one day. And somebody said, "Let's get that old looking up in the air gag on him. Come." We called him Mr. So-and-so. And they said, "Here he comes. Everybody just start looking up." So when he walked in the door, everybody in our class was just looking straight up the ceiling like this. And he walked in, he said, All right, class. Look this way." Everybody just kept looking up. And he said, and you could see him out of the corner of your eye, he said, "Oh, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. It's the old looking up in the air trick. Well, listen, just quit that, will you?" And that's what he started doing. And everybody started cracking up. "We made you look up. We made you look up." And listen, if everybody in our church would walk in just like that, I mean, spiritually speaking, and say, "Boy, this is the day the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. The Lord." If we got in the habit of that, and everybody here, if we walked in Sunday morning, shook hands and say, "The Lord might come today. The Lord might come today." You know, that's catching, brother. That's catching. Thank God He might come today. And guess what? You're guaranteed if you keep doing that long enough, you're going to get it right. You're going to get it right one of these days. You're going to say, "Hey, the Lord might come today. Thank God He will come." Looking up, expecting. I'm through this morning. Somebody said one of them things, they had a little sign on their car. And when they picked up people in their car, they had on the glove compartment, it said, "In some rapture, driver will disappear." Boy, I tell you what, I heard that and I thought, hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? Tell your mama. Tell the people you work with. Say, "Hey, if one day I don't come into work or I go to the bathroom or something, or you just see me disappear, you can have my car. Keys is right over there. Because I'm out of here, man. It's all yours." Looking up, expect it. Looking back, praise Him. Look around.